Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi Full Year 2013 Consolidated Results Presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group 2013 Results Conference Call. As usual, we will kick off the call with a brief introduction, covering the key highlights, and then we will leave room to the Q&A session. With me, Stefano Biella, Director of Administration, Fabrizio Micheli, Director of Finance, and Marco Visconti, IR Manager. Very quickly, we start with a market overview, then we will walk you through De'Longhi performance. We talk a little bit about profit and loss, balance sheet, some quarter four remarks, and some guidance about 2014. Starting with a quick overview of 2013, I must say that the last fiscal year has been particularly critical for the group. The general demand environment has remained quite uncertain, with mature markets holding on pretty well on average, while some of the emerging markets recorded a more mixed performance. During the year, there were also very sharp exchange rate fluctuations. Many of the export currencies, I would say most of the export currencies, depreciated against the euro, which unfortunately had a very significant negative impact on all major players in the industry, on the SDA industry, and obviously De'Longhi was no exception. We suffered from the devaluation of the Japanese yen, the Australian dollar, the ruble, the South African rand, the U.K. pound, just to name the main ones. In some cases, such devaluations worsened an already weak performance of the underlying market, like in Australia, for instance. Looking in particular at the De'Longhi performance, the group reported an overall +6.7% top-line growth in 2013, also thanks to the Braun contribution. At constant exchange rates, 2013 growth would have been above 10%. This implies that Forex exchange had a negative impact of approximately 56 million on revenues. By geography, Europe was overall quite positive, with almost 10% growth. Germany, Italy, Benelux, Spain, and France were among the best performing markets, while the former Russia, USSR countries, growth was limited due to some commercial issues in Russia, which we discussed also during the previous conference calls. De'Longhi benefited from a very strong contribution, also by the Middle East, India, Africa region, which was up by 53%, thanks also to the new subsidiary in Dubai, which has significantly developed the business. The Asia Pacific and American market area was down by 9.5% due to a very unfavorable Forex exchange impact, as well as to the slowdown of the Australian market, hit by a perfect storm of softer demand, increased competition in espresso coffee makers, and negative currency effect. By product, Kenwood kitchen machines grew strongly, thanks also to the significant expansion into Middle East. Even end blenders were strong, benefiting from Braun integration. Coffee sales were overall slightly negative, especially due to lower sales of Nespresso machines in Australia and Switzerland. On the contrary, Nespresso sales were good, both in the U.S. and in Benelux. Dolce Gusto machines reported a sustained growth, thanks to the new distribution agreement signed with Nescafé. Fully auto coffee makers were down 2%. An important point that we want to stress is that the sell-out figures were more positive than sell-in figures, suggesting some ongoing destocking at the retailers. Finally, espresso was slightly positive in quarter four, offsetting also the very negative exchange rate impact. But the group either maintained or increased its sell-out market shares throughout 2013, which indeed is a very encouraging sign. Finally, home care had a good performance thanks to Braun's positive impact on ironing, while comfort sales were negatively affected by unsupported weather conditions in the main markets. Looking at profit and loss, the net industrial margin increased to euro 790 million from euro 735 million in 2012, improving by 30 basis points on revenues. This improvement was achieved despite a negative exchange rate impact, thanks mainly to a strong product mix and to higher volumes, thanks to the Braun contribution. Below the net industrial margin, the group recorded a slight increase in cost for services and in labor cost. Both cost items were mainly related to the Braun integration, which led to increased headcount to strengthen the commercial network and to increase promotional costs to support the relaunch of the brand in some markets. EBITDA before non-recurring items increased to euro 243 million, up from 232 million, with a slight margin dilution from 15.2% to 14.9%. I want to point out that despite a negative foreign exchange rate impact of 30 million on EBITDA and slightly higher costs associated to the Braun integration, the margin dilution has been limited thanks to a very supportive product mix and to some economies of scale, mainly higher volumes, achieved thanks to the Braun integration. After non-recurring charges worth euro 2.6 million, EBITDA reached 240 million euro, improving from 225 million in 2012. Margin on revenues remained stable at 14.7%. Depreciation and amortization totaled about 45 million in 2013, up from 36 million in 2012. Following the relevant industrial investments in Romania, China, and the Braun acquisition. As a result, EBIT reached euro 195 million, up from 189 million in 2012, equivalent to a 40 basis point margin dilution. Net financial charges amount to euro 38 million, 3.5 million higher than in 2012, due to a higher average net debt during the year linked to the Braun acquisition, and also to slightly higher hedging costs. Net income ended at 118 million, slightly down versus 2012. Balance sheet, moving on. Balance sheet items. A good working capital management allowed to reduce the working capital to sales ratio from 15.9% to 13.6%, despite the purchase of Braun inventory completed in 2012. Net debt, as of December 31st, was almost zero, closing at 2.2 million. Excluding non-bank debt worth euro 50 million, the actual net financial position with banks was positive by euro 48 million. Non-bank liabilities of euro 50 million are predominantly related to the earn-outs with P&G, which was accounted for at euro 33.6 million. Let me remind you that as of September 30, 2013, we revised the earn-out valuation down by 31.1 million due to a lower than anticipated start of the Braun turnaround plan. The remaining 16.3 million are related to the fair value of derivatives and to the U.K. pension fund externalization. Looking at cash generation, reported net debt decreased by 59.2 million. If we add back dividends paid, 43 million, and the extraordinary capital sustained in 2013, 14.6 million, we would get a normalized free cash flow of about 117 million, which is a satisfactory result in a very critical year for the group. On quarter four, I would like to add one last remark to this introduction. In quarter four 2013, the group achieved an 18.1% EBITDA margin, which I think can give you a confirmation of the group's unique price positioning and product leadership in its core categories. As a guidance, finally, before moving on to Q&A session, I'd like to provide you some indications for 2014. Although markets globally remain challenging and very competitive, and despite a negative foreign exchange impact on EBITDA in the region of 15-20 million expected for this year, we're confident that the group could achieve a mid-single digit top-line growth and confirm, actually improve, slightly improve the profitability level achieved in 2013. I finish here and leave room to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. And three questions from my side. The first one is quite obvious. It's on the Forex impact on 2014. So I'm wondering if you can give us an idea based on the current level of more relevant currencies and the hedging position already in place, what could be the impact on 2014 EBITDA? The second one is on the fourth quarter profitability, which reached historical high level despite the FX. Surely there's a favorable sales mix. I was wondering if there are some other reason. You mentioned the Braun contribution. Is it correct to assume that Braun was at break-even at the EBITDA level in the last part of the quarter? And finally, the third question, which is related to the second one, really, is about, again, Braun. I was wondering if we can assume Braun to reach profitability for the 2014 in line with the rest of the group.
Thanks. Okay, thank you for the questions. As already mentioned, the foreign exchange impact is expected between 15 and 20 million on 2014 at EBITDA level. This is based on the hedging activities that we have in place and at current exchange rates.
Okay.
The second about the quarter, I think that in the first, let's say, three quarters, we had to fight with a very a negative exchange rate, and this was also the case in the fourth quarter. Finally, in the last quarter, we were helped by the volumes, both for De'Longhi, improved result of, say, old perimeter, and also increased volumes on Braun. This all is resulting, together with a good mix management, let's say, has definitely helped the profitability. We know that when the group is able to deliver growth, thanks to its very strong operational leverage to deliver improved margins and improved profitability. I'm pleased. Obviously, we have many difficulties ahead of us in terms of market conditions and exchange rates, but I'm pleased to see that when we deliver on expectations and we are able to grow, we still have a very strong operational leverage. The third point is about Braun. Let's put it this way. Today, the margins on Braun are below group average. Also, we bought a very, let's say, lean and agile structure, and we can deliver cash. We can have a good, let's say, margin contribution, net contribution before, let's say, G&A. Although the profitability, let's say the gross margin is below average, and also the EBITDA of Braun is below average, is positive. It's already positive. It's not negative. It's positive. It's below average. In reality, also absorbing fixed costs that otherwise would be allocated to the rest, let's say, the old perimeter. It's helping the group to absorb the fixed costs. In this perspective, we think that the Braun acquisition is quickly delivering, let's say, incremental EBITDA for the group.
Okay. Thank you. Very clear.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have the first question related to an indication on your CapEx for this year, and also if you can elaborate a little bit more on the very favorable trend in receivables that we have seen in Q4. This is just to understand what is a sustainable free cash flow generation for 2014. The second question is related to the situation in Russia. I'm talking about the country situation. You probably addressed and solved the company-specific issue, but I wonder if the current situation is generating some disruption in the market. The third question is related to M&A. You're basically cash positive. I wonder if 2014 will be mostly a year of integration of Braun, or if you are already looking for M&A opportunities.
Okay. On CapEx, we believe that 2013, let's say the extraordinary investment due to the new factories were approximately 30 million, and in 2013, approximately 15 million. Probably normalized the CapEx for the group going forward would be maybe 50 million. We expect in 2014 to have investments for about 55 million. In terms of cash flow generation, indeed, we had a very strong cash flow in the year. It's no surprise. I would say that we have this year, we have confirmed our ability to generate cash. Probably the cash generation has been really helped by a very good, let's say, working capital management, which I think can continue. Maybe in the future, we can expect a lower contribution from working capital management. On the contrary, I would tend to hope that our profitability could improve, as said, and therefore we can count on a very similar cash flow generation also for 2014, although maybe with a lower impact of working capital, which now has reached our record low at year end. Regards to Russia, okay, we are pleased about the turnaround of our operations. New structure in place, new leadership in place, new business model in place, and also completed the Abroad integration. So I would say our operations are now well positioned. Unfortunately, market conditions are getting worse and worse. We have probably a slowdown of the market. On top of it, we have a ruble devaluation. So we are ready to roll our sleeves again and continue to deliver improvement. But I would say we have the positive that we can do better than last year because we had a poor year in Russia. And therefore, say a goal to do better than last year in a negative context is still achievable. We will pass on price increases in Russia, but we still think that we can continue to grow our market share. We think we are well set now to recover. So I would expect in tough conditions to deliver growth in Russia.
Okay.
About the fourth question about M&A. M&A, indeed, we are again cash positive. Yes, we're 2.2 million euro negative, but we are, if we exclude the Braun earnout and some, non-bank liabilities, we are again cash rich. I think that for today the organization is still very busy in the Braun turnaround. We can extract a lot of value from Braun, and this is the time really to invest time and resources and focus in extracting the Braun potential. So I don't think we will enter in M&A in 2014, although the group has all the fundamentals to make an acquisition. I would say that only if maybe a unique opportunity that we find in the marketplace could arise, then we would be active again. But for now, I'm happy with a new perimeter, a lot of work, a lot of things going on, and a great potential to really exploit for us without M&A.
Okay, and then, sorry, just a follow-up, a clarification on the guidance for 14. When you say improve profitability, do you mean on absolute level or margin-wise?
I would say both. I would say that I want to be prudent. Prudently, you have to know, I said, that we have headwinds for about 15 to 20 millions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we should do better, because in a much worse year we were able really to minimize the dilution. Now we have a much lower impact, from 30 million to 15. Still headwinds, but with a lower intensity. I think that we are also entering the year with a good momentum. It's a very good company momentum, but also in difficult markets. But I reiterate that we should deliver both improvement at in absolute value for sure, and hopefully also to deliver some EBITDA margin improvements.
Okay. And do you think that coffee could be back on a growth path in 2014, at least, let's say, excluding the currency movements?
I think so. I would not be... I think that also the last quarter showed a very encouraging sign. I mean, after, let's say, a very poor first half, the fourth quarter we were positive. In the new perimeter, coffee machines were up 1.3%. It's not, say, the hell of a growth.
Sorry, could you repeat, sorry, the figure?
1.3%
okay.
In the quarter. And but also, after, let's say, a negative exchange rate impact of approximately 5% for the group in the last quarter. So I think that coffee will continue to be probably our strongest growth pillar in the future.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Anne Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for the answers and congratulations on very good results. Could you again comment on the coffee? I didn't hear how much it was down. The fully automated coffee sales, you said, were down in 2013, and maybe you can elaborate on this. Could you also provide the split, how much brown contributed to 2013 group sales, and what are your expectations for this year? If you also can comment on Ukraine, because this is also, I don't know, probably less than 5 percentage points of your group sales, but just a rough idea how significant it is for you. And then I also didn't hear if you're going to do or not to do the price increases in Russia this year. And then the last final point, we've seen quite a good results in terms of operating margin, despite probably margin dilutive impact from Braun. So when the Braun is back to its, like, say, historical strength, and you're still, you know, expanding with Kenwood and growing coffee sales machine, what do you see as potential for your EBITDA margin, let's say, in 3-5 year time or even longer? Thank you.
Okay, so sorry, I think that the first question was about the super automatic coffee machines. I'm not sure I
got... Yes, exactly, fully automated coffee machines. You said they were down in 2013?
Yeah, and the second, sorry, question was... I didn't get your second question.
I asked you about the Braun sales in... Oh, so about the fully automated coffee machines, by how much they were down and what were the reasons for that, and what is your outlook for this year? And then other questions were about the Braun, how
yeah.
much it has in terms of sales contribution to the group last year, and what do you expect this year?
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, I hope I really noted all the questions. On super automatic coffee machines, super automatic coffee machines were down about 2.3%. Say net sales 2013 were down about 2.3% on 2012. In volumes, we had a slight improvement. So where the category is still growing for us. So I think this is a positive, because I think that we have suffered the headwinds of the exchange rates in 2013, which will probably continue at a lower, let's say, at a lower impact on 2014. Hopefully, all the exchange rate impact will dissolve in 2015. So making, let's say, visible again the growth potential of the segment. On Braun sales, the contribution for the year was approximately 140 million euro. So obviously below expectations, but we said that sales have progressively improved over the last months. ending the year with a good performance of Braun, also compared to the P&G sales in 2012. About expectations, we expect Braun to recover, so we think that we hope that we will have Braun sales in line with P&G sales in 2012. Just as a reminder, sales were about 185 million euro in 2012. So we hope we can increase sales approximately 40-45 million euro Braun alone in 2014. To give you now an idea of how Braun is performing, in the first 2 months of January and February, we're monitoring of obviously Braun sales very closely, and we are in line with budgets, so we are well tracking very well in order to meet the results that we have set for Braun. So we are happy with January and February. The other question was about the price increase in Russia. Okay, generally speaking, the group doesn't need to increase prices in 2014. We think that we don't need any price increase in Europe. We will just need a price increase in some more critical markets for, due to the very strong exchange rate fluctuations. And the main markets would be Russia and Ukraine, would be Japan, and a little bit in Australia and New Zealand, and South Africa. But the rest of the markets, we will play more with mix rather than price increase. So this is giving us also the confidence that we will probably reactivate, growth. We think we have anticipated the market increasing prices in 2013, so that, the price increases in 2014 will be more selective, really to address the most critical exchange rates fluctuations in the most critical markets. It's not just a price increase across the markets. So we are confident that due to the strategy in price increase that we will have a very high potential to deliver the price increase, and also it will not be too big, preventing the group to grow to grow sales again. About results, we are happy about the performance in critical conditions. Obviously, we can do more. Maybe now jumping your last questions. The group EBITDA is likely below 15% now. Can we push it further? I think so. We proved in the fourth quarter, when we have very high sales and we absorb much better our fixed cost, we can go to 18%. Also improving the Braun profitability and bringing it to the group average levels, we have room for improvements. So I think that we probably can improve slightly again our EBITDA. Maybe in the long run we can improve 1 or 2 points. But obviously we have to continue to prove our ability to defend the price positioning, to maintain our leadership in the high end, to continue to launch new products, and to bring Braun to average profitability for the group.
Thank you very much. Maybe just on the Ukraine, how much is it as percentage of sales for you?
25 million.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I do apologize, but I managed to connect to the conference call a bit later than the beginning. So I was wondering if you can again elaborate or where do you, or how do you expect to deliver higher sales next year overall despite the forex headwinds and I think some difficult trading conditions, some of your let's say key market like Australia and Russia. So if you can once again elaborate on that, maybe in particular if you expect that or if you see some signs that continental Europe is improving. And I want to double check a figure that you mentioned. The 15 million forex impact on 2014 is at a sales EBITDA level. And this is my second and final question. Thank you very much.
Okay. About growth. Okay. By geography, I think we can perform well in Russia now, recovering positions. And also, I know that we have opened recently some new branches, which are also giving room for acceleration. Korea and also Scandinavia. And also, I would still remind you that Middle East also is still strong for us. Plus, we open also a branch now in Mexico. And so I think we have room enough by geography to continue to grow. Then also it is a fact that we are performing well in the mature market. So I have no reason to believe that we can't continue, particularly thanks to the food preparation potential in the mature market. I think we have a strong pipeline of products again. We have two new kitchen machines. We have one new Nespresso product which has been recently launched, exclusive to De'Longhi. And then we are entering also, we will start production with Dolce Gusto. And this is really, a new huge opportunity. Dolce Gusto. We think that the Dolce Gusto machines sold in the world are around 4 to 5 million. De'Longhi is today selling about 20-25%. We think that thanks to the fact that we will start manufacturing also Dolce Gusto will put us as a very strong competitive edge and will help also to grow in the segment where now we have a lower, say, market share to competition. So to make it simple, I think we have at least three strong product lines which will help to grow. On top of that, Braun, we expect Braun itself to have potential for giving us about 40-45 million of growth. So I think that although we acknowledge the markets are tough, we think that we have enough cards to deliver growth. As I said before, impact of exchange rates will be high, and we said 15 to 20 million on EBITDA. It's a huge number, but this is below what we had as an impact in 2013. So we think that we have also here the possibility to recover, to offset the negative impact, the negative headwinds on at EBITDA level, and to deliver, as said before, incremental EBITDA and also improve the EBITDA margins.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Giorgio Iannella of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Mr. Iannella, your line is open. Mr. Iannella, please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Now we can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Giorgio.
Yeah, very quickly. You were mentioning your market share in terms of sell-in. I was just wondering if you are referring to both to each, let's say, coffee makers and kitchen machine business. If I remember correct, we were at 30% and 20% respectively in Western Europe. So if you can confirm this this level for last year. The second question is about the price mix. You said that last year you did basically what you had in your plan for the price increases. We are going through a new year with FX headwinds. I was expecting some measures this year as well in terms of pricing, but at this point, can you share with us which contribution came last year from price mix? And the last question is about your cash position. You're going to be materially cash positive at the end of this year. My question is more general. I mean, are you happy with the company to run a company with such a cash pile? If you are not planning major M&A moves or alternatively extraordinary distribution, if this remains your optimal financial structure. Thank you.
Okay, so the first question is about the market shares. Espresso, I confirm you that our market shares are pretty stable year on year. Also in West Europe, actually, we are increasing our espresso machine market share. So we think that, generally speaking, we can say market share are very stable in espresso, slightly above 30%. You mentioned kitchen machines market share. In reality, the 20% refers to total food preparation market share, where we have a market share of over 20%. And also in food preparation, in say the 47 markets that we monitor, the market share is actually slightly improved. So it's stable. It's around. We have about 18.5 market share, slightly higher than last year. Slightly higher than last year. We think that these market shares are sustainable. Potentially, also we think that in food preparation there is room for a higher possibility or degree of improvement as market share substantially below the 30% that we have in espresso. The second question was about the price mix contribution, if I'm not mistaken. And the price mix contribution this year, we had a positive mix price, about 23 million of improvement. At gross margin level, due to the mix improvement. The third question was about the cash positive. Yes, we're gonna be cash positive. I said we want to use the cash. This year we'll be still very busy with the Braun acquisition and turnaround, but then we will say go back to M&A. I don't see it happening in 2014, but definitely we will go back to M&A. In the meanwhile, today the board of directors has recommended a distribution of dividends for approximately 60 million euros. So we believe that if we don't make immediate use of our cash, we should give back to the shareholders the cash that we generate. Obviously, this is probably a one-off payment at say 50% of say on the net profits as a payout. As soon as probably we will be ready again with some M&A activity, we probably will change our policy in dividend distribution.
Okay, thank you and congratulations for the results.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Anne-Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I think it's quite exciting news about the Dolce Gusto manufacturing. Could you provide more details about it? Like when you will start the manufacturing, will it be that you will manufacture the full volume of Dolce Gusto or just part of it? How the distribution will look like? Should we expect maybe something, some new product that you will patent, like similar to Latissima, what you have with an espresso range? That is the first question. Second question regarding your dividend payout policy. Would I understand, does it mean that for the time being it will be 50%, and then when you think that you are ready again to further acquisitions, you will reduce this to 30%? And then last question on the U.S. market and a new Nespresso machine there, which is, you know, targeting more large coffee drinks similar to Keurig. What do you see, do you see any impact from this new machine on De'Longhi or on Latissima? Thank you.
Okay, so question about Dolce Gusto. I hope, I think this is the beginning of a journey. Today, Dolce Gusto has a business model which, to a certain extent, is similar to the original Nespresso business model, where Nespresso or Nestlé appoint a manufacturer, and then they seek distribution partners to distribute the products that are designed and manufactured by a OEM manufacturer or say contractor, and distributed by brands and companies with a nice good distribution network. As we were able with Nespresso Latissima, we also start the manufacturing for Dolce Gusto. I think that we are now in a good, let's say, competitive position, because we now fully control the supply chain of Dolce Gusto, in the sense that we also, both in terms of, let's say, quality, design, availability of products, but also in terms of profitability. We think that we can now improve also our profitability in the business, of the Dolce Gusto business, because of the full control of the value chain. This is the first product, and obviously we have a lot to prove to Nestlé in order of our ability to make products and to sell products. I'm confident that our organization can meet the Nestlé expectations, and this will progressively open the door to more opportunities. There is nothing we should announce now in terms of new markets. I think now we are in a moment, let's say, the moment of truth. We have to prove, as we did in the past with Nespresso, when we started in 2004 as the last comer in the market, and now we are the Nespresso market leader. I hope that we can have a similar story. But frankly, this is more like a vision rather than, say, comments on facts and results. But I think it's a tremendous accomplishment. I think we were able to do this also because of our Romanian factory. We have a factory in Romania. We will start making the products in Treviso. Soon we will make them in Romania. And this also will give us a competitive edge because we're going to be very, very close to the market. If we had to source the products in China, we would have very long lead times. Now with the Romania factory, we can, from factory to let's say, customers in 2 or 3 days. So I think this is another tremendous opportunity, not just for De'Longhi, but also for Nestlé Dolce Gusto. The second question is about the dividend.
Sorry, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
Dolce Gusto was originally produced by Nestlé, another OEM in China. So does it mean that you're taking over the full production range?
No, you're just doing it step by step? No, it's an exclusive model. It's not the full production.
It's an actual model?
Yes.
Okay, and how does it work? Is this actual model will replace the previous models, or like how big is the actual model?
It's an addition to the range. It's an addition to the range. It's not an entry price point. It's slightly above the entry price point.
And can you share?
I would expect space in year one between 250 and 300,000 pieces.
Between how many?
300,000 pieces.
300,000 pieces. And you started already this year?
We're starting production now.
For the time being in Treviso?
Yes, and then we will move this to Romania in the next month.
And you're going to distribute this model only by yourself, so the same as with Latissimo, or you will, or other companies will also distribute this model?
Only De'Longhi.
And can you tell me, please, how's it called? What's the name of the model?
It's called Jovia.
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 Sorry. Okay.
Jovia.
Okay, understood.
Good.
Thank you.
Second question about payout. The payout, okay, this year is 50%. I think that, I would say that, when we are cash rich and we have, we will try to give back the money to the shareholders. As soon as we will have performed an acquisition, our main focus would be probably to pay back the acquisition, to reduce the debt, and then we can also see a lower dividend, maybe. In some extreme cases, we will reduce even below 30%. I would say today, I think that at the current condition, with no debt, you can expect a 50% dividend. In case of, limited debt, maybe 30% is a good idea. In case we stress more, EBITDA net debt ratio, then probably we will even further reduce the 30% payout. But again, this is not just it's definitely not a management decision. This is a board of directors recommendation, and which has to to be also approved by the General Assembly. In terms of the last question about USA. USA and Nespresso and the new capsule. Frankly, I'm very excited about the launch of new capsule. I believe that the strategic move of Nespresso is brilliant. I think that in America, consumers tend to prefer lungo or Americano to espresso or shorter coffee. I think although the Nespresso capsules is great, probably a bigger capacity capsule can better suit the American consumer taste. And the new capsule and the new technology can be really a breakthrough launch in North America. At the time being, Nespresso will test. But test is not the right term, the right world is launching the product itself. They have a high expectation. They say that they expect to double sales over the next years in the United States thanks to the new launch, because this is not cannibalizing the rest of the Nespresso business, but will, let's say, target more traditional type of American consumers, the more, let's say, the Americano lovers rather than the espresso lovers. I'm sure that can be a very successful product. I hope that it will be very quickly successful, and I hope that also De'Longhi will be able to maybe to take advantage, let's say, of this opportunity. I think that we have nothing now in the pipeline with the new system. We monitor the new system, and I hope that De'Longhi can come up with some idea, maybe to capitalize on this new market and new business opportunity. For the with regard to the impact of Latissima, you had a specific question on that. We still expect a growth for Latissima in 2014 in the United States after a very successful year, at the end of which Latissima was rated the best seller amongst espresso machines in the United States.
Sorry, back to Dolce Gusto. So you said that in the year one, you were thinking about 300,000 pieces of
yes.
new... And the name, is it Genio?
Jovia.
Jovia. So it's not yet in the market, right?
It is not yet in the market.
Okay. Could you spell it, please? So it's...
J-O-V-I-A. Jovia.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. De'Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so as there are no more questions, I thank you all for attending the De'Longhi full 2013 fiscal year conference call.